The Weekly Connect. The Weekly Connect. On RNIB Connect Radio.
Now let's go back to our conversation. Stacey Rowe, John Ram and Victoria Oruwari are still here with us. And thank you for staying with us through the programme, because you know one of the key things we wanted to talk about this week was mainstream versus specialist education, and all three of you have had different experiences of that, it's fair to say. But it's an interesting time because parents are making their decision, usually around about now, as to where their child will go. And I guess parents, sighted parents, will be wondering what to do now with their child. Do they put their child into specialist education, or do they get mainstream schooling with a bit of VI support? What's the best option? And I wanted to put this question to all three of you. And Stacey Rowe, I'll start with you on this one. Based on the experience you've already had, do you think that you would want to experience that again, or would you rather have had specialist education?
So for me personally, I'm glad that I got the experience that I did. I made some fantastic friends. I had a wonderful time overall, and you know, I did what I accomplished what I needed to, which was, you know, to complete the subjects in order to go to university. So I had a fear, and I guess part of me still does, but I wonder if it's moved on. That thing you said about you can tell someone who went to a specialist school sometimes, you can, for me, I think I would worry that that would have happened. So I think, and people can correct me, that I don't stand out in any way.
But can I ask you a question? When you say the mannerisms were different, do you think Steve meant it in a negative way or a positive way?
Well, I mean, I think obviously we have to be careful, because it's very individual, and there are a lot of people who went to special school who, you know, are just like you and me, and everyone's different. Yes. I think society sees anyone, any difference, as something to be feared, and I think that is a shame. So, you know, if there's a mannerism that perhaps is not common, then I think that could have an effect on whether or not, you know, you get the job that you've interviewed for. Or and it shouldn't, really. It shouldn't make any difference. But I think society are still quite judgmental.
Yeah, I think we've got to be fair here. That's... You know, I think you've been very diplomatic, Stacey. I think, you know, what you're saying is that, you know, it is an individual thing. But let's be honest about it. You know, if you end up, as a result of being at specialist school, that you end up having a rocking as part of your, you know, makeup, that you rock back and forward all the time and those kind of things. A lot of blind people do. You know, and you know, we've maybe all had a bit of it in our lives. I have a weird thing with my head. That sounds wrong, but you know, a weird thing with my head where, you know, I sort of float from side to side because of the nystagmus I've got, and I'm always trying to check myself for it. But what I'm aware of is that people who come from, and it's not everyone, of course it's not everyone, but there are some people who come from specialist education, it seems, who are never able to check themselves as a result of that.
Yeah, but can I say something? When I was in the Nigerian specialist school, any mannerism that was considered weird was knocked out of you. And I feel that there were some approaches that Nigerians took that was really out aimed to prepare you so that when you went out there, you were fighting with, you know, you were fighting on an equal playing field. And what I observed when I actually went to New College, you know, Worcester, it was a wonderful place with all the facilities and everything in place. But I just think that there was perhaps a bit too much help and too much on the emotional side, very much mollycoddling. You know, the staff were really nice. And in fact, I almost saw them as parents. And I thought, wow, like, I didn't know human beings could be created to be so wonderful. It made me feel so safe and so complacent about everything. If I'd been there for more than 2 years, I'd hate the world.
That's my point, though. That is partly my concern as well for those people who come out of specialist education.
Yeah,
if it's such a mollycoddling, that actually is it a case that, you know, they fear the world. And when something doesn't go their way,
they can't cope with it.
Can't cope.
Yeah.
I think there's I did visit one of the blind schools. A couple of things struck me. One of them, going back to what we were saying earlier about behaviours, there were a couple of people eating mashed potato with their hands.
What?
New
College wouldn't have tolerated that. That's one thing I was sure of.
Yeah, they weren't being corrected.
Okay.
So that really scared me. I didn't want to be that person.
No, that's basically absolutely right. I think and the thing is, for me, there's a couple of things there. It's a combination of the education and the family background as well.
Exactly.
So lots of parents, I think, are very overprotective. You know, my mum had a fantastic policy. She said, if I can't see what he's doing, I'm not going to worry about it. Which was great, because I got up to all sorts of things. But the other thing they constantly did, given, I say, bear in mind that I'm totally blind, they constantly said, look at the person you're talking to, you know, use your knife and fork, you know, don't do silly things. I wasn't quite into Victoria's phrase about having it knocked out of me, but it was certainly educated.
Well, I didn't mean physically, but they do talk you. Yeah.
But the other thing you've got to bear in mind, I think, is that in a lot of specialist schools now, because of the environment where people are encouraged to educate in mainstream, the specialist schools have become, I think, a bit desperate, and they've taken people with all kinds of disabilities. Now, when I said desperate, I didn't mean that in a bad way. I meant they struggle
to
populate
their
school. Yeah, they struggle to populate their school with people who just have visual impairments. So they end up having a number of difficulties, you know, maybe autism or other things, which might tilt people towards some of these mannerisms. And there were some pretty weird people at Worcester, in fairness. But there are probably weird people in most schools.
Yeah,
they are. But you see, in my defense of Worcester as well, because even though I say that there was all this mollycoddling, I'd had the toughening up from Nigeria. But one thing I also did learn in Worcester that I don't think I could have picked up on in mainstream were my rights as an individual, as the blind person, being able to ask for what I need and being able to know what I need and understand the difference between my rights and my responsibilities. I think they were very good at teaching that and making you feel assertive and, you know, that you count as well. Because when I went to mainstream in Nigeria, my experience was totally different. I mean, I did not experience bullying from the teachers. That's one thing I will say. They were excellent. And in the things they didn't know, they asked you. But they also, again, did not mollycoddle you, because they felt you got into the school by merit and you had to be, you know, you had to get an education out of it. But the children, oh my goodness, I met a variety of human beings. Some were extremely nice. Some took the mick out of me. And yes, I was integrated, but it didn't mean that all the kids I went to school with ended up my friends. I'm only in touch with two people. So you can see that, yes, the school did try to integrate, but it didn't work in the society.
That's fascinating. I think thinking about parents choosing schools for children, for me, it's the important thing is that they look at all the options. And we know that some local authorities don't even tell you what options are around.
Oh, yeah.
So, definitely. You know, if you have a VI child, you need to force, if you like, ensure that your local authority gives you all the information that's available.
Yeah.
And you need to trawl the internet and have a look around and, you know, make sure that you know, because they are obliged to give you the information about what's available, even if it is out of the county, but they don't always do it.
Stacey, any final thoughts?
Yeah, it's very interesting, actually, on the point about mollycoddling, to go back to that, because the biggest problem I had at mainstream school was that I was far too mollycoddled.
Yes.
By
it also happens. Yep.
It really did. And it was a big issue for me, because I remember when I first, you know, the first day, the support staff that were there said, right, you have to come and eat your lunch with us.
Yeah.
And I said, what? Yes. No, I'm going to eat
with
friends.
Your friends.
And
yeah.
It was a battle every day. And I would run away. They would take me to lunch. They would turn their backs and I'd run. And I'd go with my friends. And time and time again, it didn't stop, actually, until I was about 16 or 17. And every day, every single subject, you had a support teacher in the classroom with you. And it was difficult to interact with your peers, because you always had essentially a teacher by your side.
By your side.
You could never just relax. You could never be a kid, really, in that environment. And I think I think that's something that, that parents should consider when they're, you know, mainstream versus specialist school. Get involved in not just the education, but the overall experience that their kids would have in the school. Look at the whole picture.
I think it's really important that parent, because I think what really makes such forms a blind child's life if there is their parents' approach to their disability. And I feel that when every child is diagnosed with a disability, that parents should actually get a lot of counselling from well-informed people. And I can't stress that more, because I think so, sometimes actually the parents are the last to accept what's happened. I don't know, from my point of view, it would be cruel to throw a blind child in a mainstream school at the age of 5, 6, because that child is learning to be a blind person, and putting them in an environment where they're already vulnerable, the child is not going to be getting a clear view of what life is really meant to be like, because they don't know what they need. They're still trying to figure that out. I think childhood is tough enough as it is. And yeah. I think it's better if the child is educated about their disability and how well to deal with it, then join the mainstream system in secondary school, I think.
Sorry, I was going to just second quickly what Stacey was saying. One of the key factors for my daughter deciding to go to Worcester was to get away from the support. Now, the support was really, really well-meaning. They really wanted to help her. But she was admitting that, you know, there were times when she let the support worker do her work for her. Because, you know, when you're 14 and someone offers to do that, why would you not?
Yeah, exactly.
Why would you not? Exactly.
But she knew it was bad for her as well. And so that was one of the factors in her leaving mainstream.
Well, we've probably left people with more questions than answers. I think that's fair to say. You know, I think ultimately it is about a conversation like this, and it's about people having conversations with other people who are blind and partially sighted who've been through it themselves. I think that often helps. So, you know, lots of food for thought. I will say, just on that point, Stacey, around eating separately at school time, lunch times, I have to tell you very briefly that I had a wonderful experience where in my first week at secondary school, I was introduced to the visually impaired table at my school, where we all had to sit and eat together.
Table that couldn't sit.
And it was a table.
We had that in Nigeria, yeah. In the secondary school, the blind table, that's what it was called.
Yeah. And it was a table right at the top of the dining hall. So all the other kids were staring at you, sitting at their tables, thinking, why have they got their own table, that big table at the end? And of course, it was right next to the teachers, so they could look after us. Yeah. Mainstream versus specialist, the debate goes on. Guys, I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, what were your experiences of schooling? Were you given the tough love the Victoria experienced, or were you made to eat with the teachers too? Do let us know. Yeah, they did that. I know, it's incredible, isn't it? Tweet us at RNIB Radio using hashtag The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.